Jesus very, very much. Please be seated. I love Sunday night. Well, about a half a dozen of you there. Thank you very much. Sunday night is one of the great, great services of the church. I believe that.
Hallelujah.
You see, the devil would like us to shut the place down. Because when the church gathers on Sunday night, you don't worry about Sunday meal meeting the Baptist to the cafeteria. And you can wait upon God, and God can accomplish His purposes. We've lost that in the assemblies of God. We must recapture that. You see, I've maintained for years that if you give people a reason to come to church, they'll come. But if it's the same old, same old, same old, and nothing happening, now you're competing with NFL football. And that's not where God is at. Hello there. Nothing wrong with football. It's just that that's not where God is at. And we are a people heading for homecoming. And he said, neglect not in the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So it's very possible, Brother Superintendent, that you're going to have tabernacle services 7 days a week. Could very well be. Let me just tell you, if you would have told me 20 years ago, that's not a very long time, that this nation of ours would be in the condition it's in, and is attacking the church of Jesus Christ, like it is today, I would say it would never happen in America, but it is happening in America. And we, the church, better wake up. Because we are in a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not a Democrat or a Republican or a plutocrat or some other kind of crap. This is a spiritual warfare we're facing. The devil knows that we're on a short lease. And soon, and very soon, we're going to get out of here. Gravity's going to reverse. What better place to find the church in a Sunday night service when the rapture takes place? Come on.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm delighted to be back in West Florida. I must tell you, I don't say this every place I go, because I can't. But this is one special place. You know why? Because I know that you want Pentecost and you love Pentecost. I wish I could say that about every place. But it can't be said. I was preaching at district council, and there was a move of the Holy Spirit. At the close of the service, there was people lingering at the altar. God was doing a phenomenal work, and a pastor came and sat beside me, and he said, Brother Trouts, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. He said, I pastor the largest church in the district, but he said, I don't believe in this tongues business. I said, how in the world did you get our credential? I said, that's what we are. We are Pentecostal. Let me just say it to you, church. Let me just remind you something. The Assemblies of God is what it is today worldwide because of the Holy Spirit. Not in spite of. It's not by might.
That's right.
I said, it's not by might. It's not by cleverness. It's not by program. It's not by facilities. And you've done a Bel Air Superintendent, you've done a phenomenal, what a beautiful place. What a beautiful sanctuary to have in the house of the Lord. It's you're to be commended. But it's not by organization. Now we need organization. But it's by my Spirit. Say Spirit. By my Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say Spirit. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's by my Spirit. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. You can't improve upon that. You can't get anything better than know that. It's by the Spirit of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I go away, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. We are living on this side of Pentecost. We're living on this side of His coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe with all my heart that the Church of Jesus Christ that embraces the work of the Holy Spirit and embraces the person of the Holy Spirit and embraces the yearning of the Spirit to manifest Himself to us, and if we'll open our hearts, we will see the glory of God. I am so grateful that I am a tongue talker. I said to them up at Carmel this morning that the scripture said over there in Romans, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings. You don't know how to pray many times, but when the Spirit prays in you and through you, I mean, old Slewfoot can't listen in to that. Come on. Hallelujah. And yet we got some people that want to put the Holy Spirit in a side room someplace. He's not going to take that place. Understand something. You can grieve the Spirit. I said you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Scripture says grieve not the Spirit. So as we open our hearts in these days, thank you, Brother Moore, for making this possible for your district. This is what will make the growth in this district is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, He can do in a few moments what would take us, if we could do it, would take us years to do. I've watched it happen. When I became pastor, First Assembly in Saginaw, the church had been through a split. The city is predominantly Roman Catholic and Lutheran. And they said, Brother Dress, we will never have a large Pentecostal church in Saginaw, Michigan, but nobody ever told God that. So we began to fast and pray. Year one went by. Year two went by. But the scripture said, go tarry until. It didn't say stop. It says, tarry until ye be endued with power from on high. See, we've lost that. We forgot about that. We want God to push it through His fast food window. It doesn't happen that way. I'm sorry. In the third year, something happened. God came into that place. And it settled over that city like a cloud. People began to pour into the place. It was absolutely phenomenal. The writer of the Saginaw News, the religious news section, was Roman Catholic. His name was Bill Waglier. And he got wind that something was happening at First Assembly of God. So he thought he'd come over and write an article on it, but he got too close. He got gloriously saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. He turned that religious tabloid from a tabloid on Catholicism into Pentecostalism. And I said, the newspaper was run by the Roman Catholic Church, and I said, Bill, now just go easy because they're not going to keep you. You know what he said to me? He said, Bill Trask, he said, Pastor, he said, they never told me about Jesus, but I found Jesus here, and I'm going to let this city know about Jesus. It was a tabloid on the working of the Spirit of God and people being saved and filled and baptized and delivered and healed. It was marvelous. The church went from just a small number to over 1,000 like that.
Hallelujah.
Let me just tell you how the Holy Spirit, the Spirit does that. I said the Holy Spirit does that. Now let me tell you, there isn't an Assembly of God church in West Florida that cannot and will not experience revival if you will pay the price. It's as simple as that. I said it's as simple as that. Prayer. And when they pray, not play. The early church I'm talking about. Read the book of Acts. When they prayed, the place was shaken. How many believe we could stand a good shaking? How about you in the back here? I can hardly see the whites of your eyes. Hallelujah. So take your Bibles with me tonight. And I want us to go to an Old Testament account. Because in the Old Testament, we see a picture, a pattern of Pentecost. If you go to the first book of Samuel, you will read there that Samuel is leading Israel. And in the fourth chapter. And the Philistines have come up against Israel. And in the first slaughter, there were a number, you'll find it there, 4,000 in verse 2 of chapter 6. 4,000 of the Israelites were slaughtered. So Samuel said, there's a problem in the place. What we need to do is get the Ark of the Covenant. Now the Ark of the Covenant, understand this, the Ark of the Covenant was given to Israel and it represented the presence of God. It was an Ark of Covenant. Understand what I'm saying? They were people under covenant.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, we as the Pentecostal church are people of covenant.
Yeah.
I will send the promise of the Father.
Yeah.
Pentecost is not just an Assembly of God thing.
Right.
It's a God matter.
Yeah.
Instituted. God came Pentecost.
Yeah.
Understand that?
Yeah.
And it is for people of covenant, people of promise. Now that is true when we live and obey the commandments of God. So Israel go, read the sixth chapter there, or fourth chapter there, for Samuel, and you read the account where they now retrieve the Ark of the Covenant. Samuel said, we need to get this Ark. Because the reason for our defeat is because the Ark is not where it belongs. It belongs with us. So let's go and get it. So they did. And when the Philistines heard that Israel had retrieved the ark, let me just read it for you because it's a phenomenal account. It's found in verse 6 of chapter 4. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, because when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the camp, the people of Israel shouted with a shout. And they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp. Now let me just say something to us. So there are some people who get nervous when we experience Pentecost. Well, get over it. The Ark of the Covenant and the Philistines understood what that represented, even though they were part of the covenant. Now look at this further, please. And the Philistines were afraid. Well, of course they should be afraid. Look at the next statement. For they said, God is come into the camp. Now let me help us for a few moments tonight. When Pentecost is in the camp, it will become a testimony to those outside of the camp. In fact, it's been Pentecost that has attracted people to us.
Yes, come on, pray.
You didn't hear what I said. I said it has been Pentecost that has attracted people to us. Now let me remind us of something. Why should they leave a dead church and come to a dead church? This is not good language, but you'll understand it. It ain't gonna happen. I said it isn't gonna happen. The Philistine said, God is coming to the camp. Well, look at this now, please. You would think that because the Ark of the Covenant was now in the camp of the Israelites, that it would spell victory. Well, let's look at it. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming to the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing hitherto. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Now listen, it sounds like a Pentecostal preacher in this next verse, but it isn't that. I assure you of that. These are the Philistines. This is the enemy. But it says, be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the Israelites now are prepared, they think. But I bring this to you because I want you to understand something. The Holy Spirit only dwells where there's holiness and when there's obedience to the Word of God and to the voice of God and to the person of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say something and help you for a moment. Simply because we call ourselves Pentecostal does not assure us of the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't find scripture to support that. You see, you cannot disobey God. You cannot walk in disobedience, whether we individually, whether a family, whether a church, whether a fellowship called the Assemblies of God, whatever whoever and whatever, you cannot disobey the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God and walk in disobedience to the Word of God and expect the blessing of God. It doesn't happen. Now let me show it to you. So the Philistines now go to war against Israel, and Israel has the Ark of the Covenant. But the next battle they have, the Philistines slay 30,000, not six, as in the first happened, but 30,000 of the Israelites. See it there? Now you know, I hope you do, and trust you know the rest of the story, but let me just move quickly through it because this is just preliminary. The priest, well, let's go there. You're looking at me as if you're giving us some strength. No, this is all Bible. Come on. Go with me to verse 14. And when Eli, the priest, heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" And the man came in hastily and said, "Eli." Now Eli was 98 years of age, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army. I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines." Now the purpose of Pentecost, stay with me now. The purpose of Pentecost is simply this. Acts 1:8, "And ye shall receive power." Power! After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in the uttermost parts of the earth." Yes. Not maybe, fact. The work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's why everyone in this room needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need the power. The church needs the power. For it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit. The power of this Holy Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army and fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines." So even though they had the Ark of the Covenant, because of Israel's disobedience, it did not provide for them the victory and that which was necessary but God intended for them. Now, I bring that to you because simply because we call ourselves Pentecostal does not assure us of having the power of the Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit if we as a church live in disobedience to the Spirit. Or as a person we live in disobedience. Understand that? Well, I don't think you do quite yet. So let me say it. You can't talk in tongues and live like the devil. You can't speak in tongues and lie and cheat and use his name in vain. You can't talk in tongues and then partake of the alcoholic beverage. Let me just tell you, when that happens, the Spirit is gone. And he said, "If that's the way you want to live, go ahead and live. But I'm gone. I'm out here."
That's right.
He's not going to be anywhere to be found. His Spirit dwells where there's righteousness. His Holy Spirit dwells where there's godliness. His Holy Spirit dwells where there's obedience to the Word of God. Walking humbly before him, dependent upon saying, Lord, we need you, we want you, we must have you. Without you, we can do nothing.
Come on.
So, Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed in battle. And this messenger brings to this priest this word. But, let me show you something. Let's go down to verse number... Let's go down to verse number 18. And it came to pass when he made mention... Now, this is the servant that came to Eli. He had told Eli, let's go back to verse 7. And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken.
Yeah. Come on.
Now, let me show you. The Philistines were smart enough to know, let's not just slaughter these people, but let's get the ark. Because that ark brings God into the presence. They were smarter than we Pentecostals are. And it came to pass when he made mention, look at this now, when this messenger made mention in verse number 18, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off his seat backward. I'm talking about Eli, the priest. He falls off his seat backwards, and he breaks his neck, dies. For he was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. What a tragic way to end. What a tragic way for a Pentecostal church to have known the power of the Holy Ghost to finish in the flesh. Having begun in the Spirit, are we now so clever and so wise and so smart that we now finish in the flesh? Having a power, a form of godliness, a form of godliness, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Let me tell you, the devil doesn't care how much form we have. He will not flee because of a form.
Amen.
But he will flee in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And the daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the look at this, please. Now the order, when you read the scripture, see the order, make note of that, because it's not there just by accident. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken. Number one, when that came to her, that the ark of God has been taken by the Philistines, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself in travail, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod. What a terrible name. Come here, Ichabod. Come on. Ichabod. Come on, Ichabod! But you have to understand what the word Ichabod means. And it tells us what it means. She named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory departed from Israel. Because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband. Now let me tell you something. There's nothing worse than to have Ichabod written over the place. For the glory of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the working of God, the anointing of God, the help of God, the deliverance of God, the healing of God is gone from the place. written over the door. The glory has departed. Can it happen to us?
Yes,
it can. And in some places it is. I'll tell you how serious it is. An Assembly of God pastor. I won't tell you where. I won't tell you his name. It's none of your business. But he took the pews out of the place. They think that that is now one of the real spiritual actions of the church. Give me a break. And he put tables in the sanctuary and had the people sit around the tables. Here was the subject of discussion for Sunday morning. What flavor of vodka is best? Come, let me tell you something. Ichabod is over the door. One of the dear saints went to him and said, "Pastor, why are we doing this? What's this got to do?" And he said, "Did you learn something?" And she said, "Well, I'm not sure I did." "Well, if you learned something, it was good." Now let me tell you something. God isn't within a million miles of it. Ichabod. Over the door. Having once known of the power of Pentecost, having once experienced the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And then for that to have happened, it's a tragedy. Call yourself Assemblies of God. Call yourself anything you want. Change your name if you want. It doesn't change what's happening inside. Well, Brother Trask, I think if we take out the name Assemblies of God, that will help us. Let me tell you something. It isn't in the name. I said it isn't in the name. It's what happens in the place or doesn't happen in the place. I used to tell my congregation, 2,200 people there in metropolitan Detroit, if you don't get fed in this place, get out of here. Find a place where your soul is fed.
That's right.
Where God is present. Because when this whole thing wraps up, it isn't going to make that much difference if you have been called an Assemblies of God or some other thing. What's going to matter is that you know God. And you've embraced the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Ichabod. Just the name's enough to gang. Ichabod. Because God has departed. Well, let me go take you now to the second book. Because it gets good. It gets good. Go with me to 2 Samuel. And let's look at chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. Now David's on the throne. I don't mind telling you that God has given to you a leader in this district that is thoroughly Pentecostal. You West Floyd, you're smart. Good for you. I commend you. Really. Why would you, in these closing days, why would you want somebody leading the district that doesn't know the power of Pentecost?
Come on.
Now, I've been in this thing long enough, 56 years. I happen to know not everybody is happy. I don't mean in West Florida. I will tell you why I know this. The last year I was in office, I conducted 5 listening forums across America. 5 different settings. And you had to be 40 years of age and younger and pastoring to be able to attend. That was the criteria. And when we gathered in these different places across America, in these forums, I said to them, look, I've not come to talk to you. I've come to listen to you. You talk to me. Mistake number one. Oh, no. And I said, understand something now. Our doctrine is not up for debate. Understand that? I said, our doctrine of this church is not debatable. But I would tell you, they took after me with a vengeance. Brother Trask, would you please get off this Pentecostal kick of yours? Will you please get off this tongue-talking business? Vicious. You can ask James Bridges. James, you're up there in heaven. You were there. You know what I'm talking about. Crabtree was there. And I simply said to them, let me just tell you something. You don't want the Holy Spirit? He doesn't want you. Simple as that. But it's in leadership. I said, it's in leadership. The people will be what the leader is, or lack thereof. God has given to you a wonderful Pentecostal leader. You are blessed. David is in office now in this second book of Samuel, chapter 6. Let's look at it together. It'll bless the socks off you. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, I'm reading from verse number 17 of chapter 5, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the field. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. It's good to consult the Lord. It's good that you find out what God wants. Come on. You can't miss. I said, you can't miss. I'll show it to you. And David smote them there, and the Lord said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them, and the Philistines came up yet again. Now let me just remind us that the enemy is not done.
Amen.
You say, Brother Charles, we don't have any problem with the enemy. Probably a good reason why. You don't bother him.
Amen.
The Philistines come up again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephidim. And David inquired of the Lord, smart leader, inquired of the Lord and said, thou shalt, shall we, and David inquired, shall we go up? And the Lord said, thou shalt not go up. Well, wait a minute, Lord. You did it once. We just assumed you were going to do it again. Wrong. It's wrong for us to assume. Find, get the mind of God. I said, get the mind of God.
Yeah.
Now, the only way you're going to get the mind of God is wait upon God.
Yeah.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yes!
Yeah.
I said, we that wait upon the Lord.
Yeah.
We don't know how to wait anymore. Well, in many cases, we don't have any time to wait.
Amen.
We run them in and run them out. This is what he said. Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of the going of the tops of the mulberry tree. Let me tell you something. There is a sound of Pentecost. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. Let me remind us, there is a distinct sound of Pentecost. And only those who know the power of the Holy Ghost and have ears to hear will hear the sound of Pentecost. So ask the Lord to anoint your ears with that ear sound, so that I hear the sound of Pentecost. I hear the sound of the stirring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord said to David, when you hear the sound and the stirring in the mulberry trees. Now, you intelligentsia, it doesn't make a lick of sense in the human. What kind of instruction is that when you hear the sound in the mulberry tree?
Yeah.
You know, our problem in the Pentecostal church today is this: we got so smart. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I wrote a letter to the presidents of our institutions. And I said to them, if you got professors teaching in those classrooms that are not Pentecostal and do not embrace the doctrine of this church, you get rid of them now! You see, they would never have accepted this kind of instruction. When you hear the sound of the stirring in the mulberry trees. Let me tell you something, church. You can't put God in a box. You can't put Him in an Assembly of God box. For it's not by might. It's not by power. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Man, we got to get going. We're just getting there. So hang on. Oh, I left my watch on the open. Good. And again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, same number that were slain. And David rose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal and Judah to bring up from thence. Look at this, please. To bring up the ark of God. David said, our problem, we got to have God in the midst. Our problem, church, tonight, is we have to have the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings God. I said, the Holy Spirit brings God. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus. He said, He will reveal to us truth. Read it there. Read it in your Bible. To bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Usa and Aho, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new ark. Now here's the mistake. The ark didn't belong on the cart. The ark belonged on the shoulders. That's where it belongs. the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, doesn't come in the head. It comes in the heart. There are many people today that would love to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they got their head in the way. That's true. I just buried her husband a couple weeks ago. I had a little gal, Christian Missionary Alliance gal, come into the church, and she said to me, "Pastor, I want the Holy Ghost." I said, "You can have the Holy Ghost. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost." And she began to seek at the altar Sunday night after Sunday night, Brother Moore. And she was so hungry. And one Sunday night, I went over to her and I said, "Karen, just relax. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work it out. It's a gift." And I said, "Just begin to tell Jesus you love him." And she did. And just in a few moments, she began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave her utterance. Hallelujah. It revolutionized her life. I did. I mean, it will. I said, "It will. That's you shall receive power." You say, "Brother Trask, I can't live for God." You need the Holy Ghost. That's why the Holy Ghost was given, so that you could live for God in this vile, sinful, nasty, dirty, rotten world we live in. He knew when he sent the Holy Spirit what it was going to be like in 2012. The vomit of filth this nation vomits out of us.
Amen.
People, the government, authorizing same-sex marriage. Give me a break. Wake up, church. We need to pray.
Yes. Amen.
Billy Graham said it right. If God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where we're at. Well, it's okay. That's for free. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it into the house. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, accompanied the ark of God. And Ahab went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments and made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries and timbrels and cornets and cymbals. And when they came to Nathan's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God. Watch it, please. Don't you dare put your hand on Pentecost.
Woo! Wow. Come on.
I said, "Don't you." Let me just tell you something. It's better. If you don't embrace Pentecost, if you don't embrace the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever you do, keep your mouth shut. Don't you touch that, because that's God. When I was decap, Mark, 100 years ago, I used to come in on Sunday night from preaching across the state of Michigan, and there was a great, it was a congregation of about 5,500. I won't tell you what denomination, they were in a strong, strong church, Sunday night. And this pastor got on this kick that he had to fight Pentecost. He was on radio, live. And Sunday night after Sunday night, he just went hammering on we tongue talkers and we Pentecostals and we emotional people. Let me tell you. Let me tell you something. He put his hand on the ark. And that church today runs about 50 people.
My God.
I'm just telling you, don't touch what God has set in place.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Touch not. You say, I don't believe it. Well, then just keep still.
Yeah.
But don't you fight it. You're better off not to fight it.
Right.
You're better off not to take a position of opposition. Just stay away from that. At least you don't fight against God.
Amen.
Understand that?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
And Yusuf put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Yusuf, and God smote him there for his heir. Heir. There he died by the ark of God. The reason why we have death in the camp today is because we have men and women who have put their hand upon the ark. And death has come. Well, the leader got upset with God. Have you been upset with God? Come on. Ever been upset with God? The rest of you are not telling the truth. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Yusuf, and he called the name of the place Peryusa to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto the city of David. But David carried aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And David said, okay, God, that's what you're going to do. I'll show you. And he said, I'm not taking it home. So he takes it over to Obed-Edom's house. The Gittite. And he places it there. Now watch. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. Listen to this next statement. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. You understand something? You know where the blessing is? The blessing's in the presence of God. The blessing's in the Holy Ghost. The blessing's in the work of Pentecost. Take Pentecost out and you've got nothing. Nothing.
That's right.
We don't even make a good Baptist. No, it's true. Once you've experienced, once you've known, just settle for anything less. I get goosebumps. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. Pretty smart.
Yeah.
What does they say? How many kicks of a mule do you have to have before you learn? David only needed to... David, have you heard what's happening in Obed-Edom's house?
Yeah.
Everything he's doing is blessed. David said, that's enough of that. I'm going to get it. Come on, church. That's So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And then as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michael Saul's daughter looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to show you something. You say, Brother Trask, I'm a very reserved person. No, you're just frozen. So. No, I understand. Let me be careful. I understand. Not everybody responds in like. I understand that. I watched that song leader do a Pentecostal jig in that platform. I watched that pianist. Where is he? I watched you. I got blessed. The fact of the matter is this. There's got to be a response. I'm not saying how you respond. I'm just telling you, you got to respond to the work of the Spirit. So they brought up the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Pentecost belongs in the midst. These churches today that are saying, look, if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a room downstairs in the back there someplace. If you want, you can find it down there.
Come on.
You're not going to dictate to the Holy Spirit what he can do, what he can't do. Put him in the midst. Let God be in the midst. There's joy in the midst. There's shouting in the midst. There's glory of God comes into the midst of the place. Hallelujah. I'm going to hurry along. Maybe. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts, and he dwelt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Now David, then he returns home. Look at it. And then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself. Who uncovered himself in the eyes of the handmaids and of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamefully uncovered himself. Well, let me put it in the vernacular so you can understand. She said, David, I was appalled at you today. I was ashamed of you today, David. King David! I looked out through the window. And I saw you dancing before the Lord.
Glory.
What was the matter with you? Her problem was this. She was on the wrong side of the window. You want God? You want God? Get on the right side of Pentecost. Come on. I said, get on the right side. Get where God is at. Let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you and move upon you and stir you. You say, Brother Trask, that's fanaticism. It isn't fanaticism. It's the work of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You want death? What deadness? What lifelessness? You want to go home the same as you come every service? Just take Pentecost out of the place. But at Pentecost in the midst. And David, oh, I love this guy. I love this guy. He said, you are embarrassed, huh? Now let me just help some of you. You see, Brother Trask, if I invite some of my neighbors or somebody to church and his sister so-and-so has a message in tongues, or she begins to shout, they'll never come back. You don't know the scripture. You don't know what the book says. The Bible says that tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. It's not for you. It's for the unbeliever. You see, the intellect is now working. Well, I'm afraid that if I did that, they would be embarrassed and I would be embarrassed for them. Forget it, would you? Get over it. Get over it. What's happened is the devil has handcuffed you. Because that neighbor could very well be the one that is wanting and desiring God. And the devil has come to you and has handcuffed you so that you're fearful. Michael, you don't understand.
Come on.
Here, let me just, you can read when you get home. But here's what he says to her. You don't understand, Michael. It wasn't for you I was dancing. It was for the Lord. And then he makes a statement that is, you can't miss it.
Come on.
Well, let me read it for you because I don't want to do any damage to it other than what the scripture says. But listen to what he said. Verse 22. And I will yet be more vile than thus. In other words, you haven't seen anything yet. I will be base in mine own sight. See, hear that?
Wow.
I will be base in my own. You see, we're so concerned what people are going to think of us. Come on. We are so concerned about what is somebody going to think of me? Get over it, would you please? Let God do what He wants to do. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of, listen to this, of them shall I be had in honor. In other words, you know what you're talking about. You see, what happens is this, church. When we allow the work of the Holy Spirit to be evident in our lives, those who recognize the work of the Spirit will appreciate the work of the Spirit. Those who don't recognize, as Michael didn't recognize. Let me tell you something. I've pastored for most of the years of my ministry. Those people you can't please. I've had them say to me as a pastor of that large church, Pastor, if you would only stop this speaking in tongues, if you would stop this Pentecostal thing, you would have more people here. I said, I'm not after more people, I'm after more of God. And God will bring to us the people of like kind and like spirit. You see.
Amen.
I had a businessman. He was a big shot in one of the automobile industries there in Detroit. And he attended one of these fancy churches. And I conducted a Tuesday fasting and prayer every Tuesday of all the years I pastored that church. And he would come over and join us on Tuesday. And he would say to me, he said, Pastor, you know, I'd love to attend Brightmoor Tabernacle, but, you know, because of my status, I should go ahead. Die if you want to die. It's okay. Well, he went to have his physical. And the physical, the doctor said to him, called him by name, and he said, I hate to tell you this, but you got cancer. What? Yes. And it's serious. Well, he went to the phone and he called the church office and he said, I must speak with the pastor now. Now! And the secretary said, well, pastor is not available. You don't understand who I am.
Yeah.
I must speak with the pastor now. Well, I'm sorry, but he's not available. What do you mean he's not available? Well, he's in the sanctuary conducting the Tuesday day of fasting and prayer. So, we were in there with a number of the saints on Tuesday. And he comes, ripping and snorting. Pray for me! Pray for me! Pray for me! I said, sit down, would you please? The doctor just said, I got cancer, and I don't have long to live. I said, sit down. It's amazing how they want God on their terms. Isn't it though? It's amazing. You don't have God in your terms. You're not going to dictate to God. Now I must tell you, there are some people as a pastor I would have healed and there are some that I wouldn't. Explain myself. Yeah, you better, Brother Trask. No, there are saints in the congregation that if I was God, I would never have taken them home. As a pastor, I needed them. They knew how to pray. They were intercessors. They were workers. They were never complainers. They were faithful in every service. And then you get some rascal. So I said, sit down. I said, we're going to anoint you with oil and we're going to pray the prayer of faith. Ask the Lord to heal you. You know what? God healed him. Marvelously healed him. Did he come to Brightmoor Tavern? No, he went back to that dead place. Did it change God at all? God desires to manifest himself to those, to all of us. So David said, just remember this, Michael. Those of you who did not like what you saw, it's okay. But those who know me and know my heart, I will be held in honor. So never be ashamed of spirituality. I said, so never be ashamed of spirituality. Well, I must close with the last verse because it's important. It says that Michael became barren. You take Pentecost out of the church and you will have barrenness. Your altars will be barren. The prayer meetings will be barren. The life of the church will become barren. And God will be a million miles from that place. And there's nothing worse and for a church to be barren. When there are multiplied millions and millions and millions and millions and billions going into eternity, for a Pentecostal church to become barren, shame on us. Shame on us. God forgive us. So God forgive us. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you to be witnesses unto me. in Judea. That's hometown USA. In Samaria. In Jerusalem. Jerusalem's hometown USA. In Jerusalem. In Judea. In Samaria. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you know why? Do you know why the Assemblies of God today is 64 million worldwide? You know why? It's not because of Springfield, Missouri. Give me a break. It's because of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why the overseas church is just blowing the hinges off the place? I was just in Brazil preaching in a church in Brazil that seats 25,000 people in a city. Get this, in a city of about 100,000 people. And the man, the pastor, is 80-some years of age. And his goal is to have an Assembly of God church every mile. They took me by another one. Assemblies of God. He said, Brother Trask, and it was a gorgeous facility. He says, they're getting ready to break ground. He showed me the piece of ground across the street. It's going to seat 7,000 people.
What?
Now, does God love the Brazilians more than He loves us? I don't think so. But you know why the overseas church is continuing to? Because they don't question. And when God's so smart as we now, we say, we can do it. We can do it without the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you something. The Catholics have been doing it for centuries, gathering people. People that are going to hell. And we're falling into the same trap. We think it's all in numbers. Now let me just say something to you. You can have numbers, but it can be Pentecostal numbers. It can be people full of the Holy Ghost. God can be in the Lord Jesus. Forgive us, please. 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 I plead with your Spirit. Forgive us for our barrenness. Forgive us that we thought it was more important to have suppers than to have prayer meetings. We thought it was more important to please people than to please you. Forgive us. Forgive us. I pray that you once again will visit us with the Holy Ghost and Pentecostal revival. Restore unto us the years of the canker worm and the palmer worm and the caterpillar hath eaten. I pray, oh God, come to us. Come to us. Come to us. Come to us. Those of you who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in days gone by, but you haven't spoken in tongue in weeks or months or years, I want you to get up from where you're sitting and come and kneel at an old-fashioned altar. And if you got to stay there all night, stay there until the heavens open, until the rain begins to descend, God comes and baptizes you again with the fullness of the Holy Ghost. If you've never been filled, head for the altar.
Yes, amen.
Get up from where you're sitting.
Yes, yes.
Come. Come. Come.